Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Really excited about this next segment we're going to be bringing you guys today. We have actor, writer, and director Justin Tim Payne making his first appearance on our show. We're going to talk to him not only about his journey in the industry, but also what it's been like for him to be able to share that with all of you and to see the way that people have responded. Now, if the name sounds familiar, many of you know him as he's known on Twitter as the Ninja Director. We're going to talk to him not only about the Ninja trilogy that he's been able to create, but also what it's been like for him to share that with the world today using technology that we have available. Justin, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live. Glad you could join us today.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about you that I think is so great is that you're able to not only do what you love, Justin, but you're having fun along the way, and then, of course, being able to share that with all of us and have seen the way that people have responded. You know, this journey has been a great one for you, but what has it been like for you to kind of see it evolve?
I guess it started a really long time ago when my buddy Daniel Ross and I were both actors in this area, and we're in the Washington D.C. area. And we had been able to work with what I consider to be one of the greats in terms of micro budget independent cinema, which is a man named Don Doler and his partner Joe Ripple. Don, back in the 70s, really just on shoestring budgets in his backyard, had managed to get stuff that got national airplay on TV. He launched the career of J.J. Abrams. Mm. He was just an incredible guy to work for. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple years back. But we were really inspired by what those guys were able to do, and we've been able to work with them in terms of being actors. When we were sitting around, I guess this was probably back in 2007, kind of lamenting that we were getting roles, but not quite the roles we wanted. We went out to see, of all things, the movie Clerks 2. And there's a wonderful scene at the end of that movie where the two main characters are lamenting the fact that their lives are not progressing as they wish they would. And the question is asked, if you could do anything, what would you do? And they wanted to do what they were doing, but they wanted to do it their way. And they said, we would buy the Quick Stop. And that's what they said. That has become our sort of our motto, which was we walked out, and I remember my wife had to go to the restroom, and she walked in. It was just me and my buddy Daniel in the lobby of this movie theater, and we kind of looked at each other, and we said, we're going to buy the Quick Stop. That's going to be what we do. And from that moment, it became about, instead of waiting for what we wanted to come to us, because when you're an actor, you go out and you audition and you wait to hear back and you don't have much control. You just kind of sing as loud as you can and hopefully someone notices.
Right.
It became very much about manifesting our own destiny. And from there, we walked into one of those old Blockbuster videos that existed, you know, way back 100 years ago, and looked for the movie that wasn't there, that we felt like we couldn't believe wasn't there, and that became Ninjas versus Zombies, and from there we pressed forward.
Yeah, and so from Ninja versus Zombies, you guys went to Ninjas versus Vampires and Ninjas versus Monsters. I mean, you know, I have to say this, and I was thinking about this, Justin, actually, when I was prepping for this segment. You know, we as a society are very fickle. You never know what's going to please people. You never know, you know, what people are going to like or what they're going to gravitate to. Do you think that what came through in Ninjas versus Zombies is the heart that was behind that project?
I like to think so. We, you know, the concept is certainly very populist, especially for the time. You know, the Freddy versus Jason had just come out. Versus was very, very in vogue. Zombies were very in vogue. And so the concept was very much, let's try and give the people what they want. But in terms of the film that we made and the two films that we've made since then, we kind of make films that we like. And not everybody did like the first one or the second one, although I'm happy to report that the reviews have been kind of universally pretty good for Monsters, but we like them. And we figured that there are probably enough people out there like us that would like them, a niche of people who enjoy the old Evil Dead films, who enjoy the Kevin Smith films, who enjoy the Blair Witch Project, who love that independent flavor behind the film, who loved Buffy the Vampire Slayer because it was a giant influence on us. And we figured, you know, if we could reach those people who like something that's a bit funny, kind of clever, that has real stakes, where, you know, we're not afraid to tell you a joke 1 minute and then kill a main character the next minute, you know, that if we could make a movie that we liked, we would find enough people who liked it too. So in terms of trying to keep up with, you know, you're absolutely right that the world out there, especially the audience, can be fickle. I found that if we just stay true to what we like, people will like it too. I think the heart shines through, even if the head doesn't always work the way you think it's going to.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the great things about it. And we're going to talk about how that heart is translated, especially with new media, here in a moment, Justin. But for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm excited today to welcome Justin Timpain to our program. He's an actor, writer, and director that has been able to do work that he loves and has been able to see the way that people have responded to it. And now, of course, because of the internet, Justin, literally from around the world, you guys may know him from the Ninjas trilogy. We're just talking about what became Ninjas versus Zombies, and then, of course, the two films that happened afterwards. But new media has been a big way that you've been able to not only do what you love, Justin, but also to share it as well. You, like the rest of us, as I mentioned on Twitter, we know you as the Ninja Director. So you're using new media like all of us are. How do you think that has helped you in being able to do exactly what you mentioned, and that is to do projects that you love?
Well, you know, I think that there's, I mean, they, you know, how long do you have? You have 3 or 4 hours? Because I could just go on a list. The truth of the matter is that that both with new media and with social media, we've been able to get stuff out to people and also get people involved in not just. It was funny because back in the day, like when I was a younger fan of horror movies, in the late 80s and mid 90s. It was very much a one-way conversation. They'd put stuff out, you'd watch it, and the conversation would end there. What I love about what we have now is that we, one, certainly through media outlets that didn't exist before, through video on demand, through networking via social media, which then puts us at conventions where we're then showing the film to just a group of people who we know are going to love it, all the way down to creating a podcast network to have the conversation be, you know, I like podcasts because I used to listen to movie commentary. So what if the movie commentary continued when the film was off? And suddenly we could have a conversation that way, and then through social media, the fans can respond back, and fans become friends. I hate to use the word fans because I'm way too much of a regular guy to say the word fans. But I like to call it people who like our stuff, who get in touch, and then they become friends. And that's that parlayed through doing the ultimate form of social media producing, which is kickstarting the Ninjas versus Monsters film before we started it, going back to our fans and saying, you know, we maxed out our credit cards the first two times around. Do you want to help us this time? And people really did, and they really responded. And so this is now their film as much as ours. And it's, I mean, the opportunities that have been awoken to us, both in terms of finding a fan base and in case of Ninjas versus Monsters, absolutely being able to make that film, as well as our next film, Trek Off, it's been through the internet and through new media that has allowed that to happen. I mean, it's the cycle starts, you know, with you do a Kickstarter campaign, which is social media, which then you create content for that you release on YouTube that people then see that draw you back to the conversation that exists there is phenomenal. It's something that when we started back in 2007, we couldn't imagine that it would be the way that we did it. When we finished Monsters or Zombies, we were making DVDs, putting them in folders, and sending them out to press. Now that it's Monsters, we're making digital screeners for people to see and able to communicate in ways that we never thought we could. So absolutely, I would say that new media and social media have played a gigantic role in what we've become.
Yeah, there's another component to this, Justin, that I think, in particular for you, I think there's a great appreciation for, and that is not only that you're able to do what you love, but you're able to bring in actors to bring these stories to life. You know, what I have noticed, especially when I was prepping for this segment with you, is that what an appreciation there is, not only, of course, for that, to be a part of what your vision was, but then, of course, to be able to bring that to life. When you hear that from the actors that you've worked with, how does that make you feel, to know that they appreciate just the opportunity of being able, not only, of course, to do what they love, but to bring your story to the masses?
Well, I think that it helps that I spent the first 10 years of my professional career, like right out of college, as an actor. So all my friends are actors. Everybody I know is an actor. So when people go, did you just get your friends involved? I go, well, yes, but my friends are all professional actors. And that was helpful in terms of finding the talent that we wanted to find, because we've certainly been able to more than other, and not to insult other independent films, but more than some, we've been able to really find some top-notch award-winning actors to be in our stuff.
Right.
But I have a little speech that I give when new people come aboard, and nobody believes it when I first say it, and then when it's all done, they go, oh, you were so right, which is that I don't think of it, you know, when you do a play or a movie as an actor, usually you show up, you're part of it, everybody becomes your best friend for a month or two, and then it's done, it's over, and often you don't see those people again, or you don't see them for years and years until you do another production. And that's absolutely not what we do. We add people to our family. So we are there for each other on a personal level. After we meet, when people are drawn in, by and large, we have, you know, we've helped each other move. We've helped each other get through, you know, breakups and marriages and deaths in the family and hard financial times and great times. We've been there at each other's premieres. And that even extends out to other filmmakers we're becoming associated with. Michael Dougherty, who is a filmmaker in his own right, who's done Brown Coats and Z-Con, is actually running our DVD distribution. You know, Ed Sanchez, who made The Blair Witch Project, the old, you know, of the two films that one would watch back in the 90s to become inspired to do this, it would be Blair Witch or Clerks. You know, he's jumped on board and opened doors for us and a lot of other filmmakers. And in terms of this movie, in terms of Monsters, has been creatively involved as well. And you know, he's now a friend, and I think that is, you know, more than having them appreciate the ability to be in it. It's never for me. It's never ever a director actor. I'm the big guy in charge, and you're working for me. Don't you appreciate it? Relationship. It's very much, you know, we're a team where there's no difference between me and the actor and the grip, and that, you know, we're all kind of working together as a family function. And I think that's what people walk away being so surprised at the end, that they have been drawn into more than just a production, but really a group of people who are going to care about them.
Exactly. Well, Justin, let me ask you this. I mean, there has to be for you, I mean, a huge excitement about doing work that you love, that you're proud of, and then, of course, to see the ripple kind of go out from people who are willing to work with you and excited to work with you, and then, of course, to see the audience then respond. Is there, though, an excitement and nervous energy about what comes next? Because after you saw the way that people responded to Ninjas versus Zombies, was there this thought of, okay, could we do it again? And then after that one, you know, could we do it again with Monsters? Do you feel that every time, or is that part of the challenge for you as a director?
Well, I think that nervous and excited are two words that people would apply to me anyway. that's just sort of who I am. But I think in terms of trepidation regarding, you know, do we do a sequel? You know, do you make a movie for close to nothing that was seen by close to no one, and then make a sequel to it and expect that more people will see that, and then that will draw people to the first, and then that expands, you know, through Netflix and through other sources to being seen by a bunch of people, and then saying, are we going to top ourselves? Are we going to do it again? In this case, I have a wonderful, you know, we steal a line from Jay and Silent Bob when I call him my hetero life mate. My wife laughs at me when I say it. But my buddy Daniel Ross really does, when I don't believe I can do something, he absolutely says, yes, you can. this is what we should do. You should. He doesn't see it as can we do it again, but he sees it as strike while the iron is hot. Do it again because you have people who want to see it. And so I think that it helps because there is, you know, certainly when you're in that long, dark midnight of the soul that you have when you're any kind of artist and you're sitting there telling yourself there's no way that I'm good enough to do this again, because making a film, especially of this, of this magnitude on our budget, is an enormous undertaking. It helps to have someone who's absolutely a dyed-in-the-wool believer. And so I've been lucky enough, not just with Daniel, but like our core of executive producers, Corey and Liz and Brian, who unfortunately is no longer with us, and Mascot, like they've all sort of surrounded me, and of course my wife, they have surrounded me with positivity. So I would say in terms of having anxiety, it's not something that I've allowed to have for very long because I have people backing me up and they have people backing them up wanting this to happen.
Right. And I think that's one of the great things about it. Now, you mentioned, you know, about the new project. We're going to be talking about that here in just a moment. But I want to say another aspect of this that we have not really talked about, Justin, and that is we've talked about, you know, those, you know, who come to see the project or are able to see it. I want to talk about those that admire you just for the work. I mean, I think it's interesting what you said about fans because I've heard that more often than not now, I think over the past couple of years, more and more of the individuals I'm speaking with that are in your industry are saying, you know, I don't like to think of them as fans. I think of them more as friends. And I think that says a whole lot about how you view them and what you're giving them. How does it feel now to be an example of what is possible? You talked about having someone in your corner that says, you know what, you know, let's do this, you know, let's strike, as you said. But now you're able to show other, you know, filmmakers, other individuals that are in this industry that, you know what, you guys can do this. How does that feel to you?
Well, I mean, it's you know, it's all about paying it forward as far as that's concerned. You know, I was talking about this just the other day, the barrier to entry into making something that the world can consume is so low. I mean, it's really, you can right now, as we're speaking, you can decide, I want to be a podcaster, which I am, and go, you know, go to Best Buy, get the equipment you need for less than $100, and you can have something out there for the world 4 hours from now. Now, you have to bring the world to you. You have to somehow let them know that you're out there, but you can do that. If you want to make a movie, the technology, it's more expensive, but for, you know, less than a couple $1,000s, you can make something that 5 years ago would have cost you $10,000 and 20 years ago would have cost you $100,000 to make.
Right.
And you can put it out there. You don't need distribution. Distribution is really great, and I love our distributors, Uncorked and Left and Big Damn Films. I love that we have the ability to get into traditional venues like iTunes and on demand and stuff. But it's the truth is you can make a movie, you can put it out on YouTube, you can make something that's really good. If you look at things like The Guild and things like that have really hit, it's you can just go do it. I mean, there's nothing that's stopping you from going do it except your own inexperience. And how do you overcome inexperience? You just go get experience. You just go out and do it, make your mistakes, take your lumps, do it again a couple times, and you'll once you spend 1,000 hours doing something, you'll be okay at it. So that is what I would say. That's what I would say more than anything is you know, I have had, you know, to go back to the difference between fans and friends, you know, I am sitting here, as I speak to you, I'll let you, let everyone behind the curtain, I am sitting on my couch, looking at my TV, having just finished watching an episode of Star Wars, The Clone Wars with my kid. I am a fan of things. As a matter of fact, people, I can go as far as saying I'm a fanboy of things like Star Wars and Star Trek and podcasts and Blair Witch. I mean, the concept of saying that other people would be fans is to just say that they're people just like me, and how can I not consider someone like that a friend? And so if you're a fan of something, you know, even now with things like fan films, if you like Star Wars, you can go out and make yourself some Star Wars, and people do. And I know people who are involved in doing that. My friend Mike Doherty, like I said, he loved Firefly, so he went out there and made a Firefly fan film. With Trekoff, we've gotten involved with people who've made Star Trek fan films. I mean, if you are a fan of something, you can just go out and do it. And as long as you're not making money on it, you can go out there and release it, and people are going to be fine with it. So I think that really, you know, if you really want to do something, depending on whether you're a musician or an artist, or a filmmaker or a podcaster, you can go out and it's just a matter of, they say that every 1,000-mile journey starts with the first step. Well, go take your first step, and if it needs to be a small one, do that. And it's, I mean, I don't want to say it's not hard, because it is hard. It's a ton of hard work, but anybody can go do it, and that's just the truth of it.
Yeah, I think that is it, and what a great encouragement that is. Justin, thank you so much for saying that. Again, everyone, Justin Timpain has been our guest today. We've been talking to him not only about his own journey as an actor, a writer, and director, but also what it was like for him to see how people gravitated to his projects, and now, of course, being able to pay it forward and show other people what's possible. It all began with Ninjas versus Zombies, and from there, it was Ninjas versus Vampires, and then Ninjas versus Monsters. So, Justin, what should our listeners be looking out for next?
Okay, well, the first thing, I would be remiss if I didn't say that the very first thing they should be looking out for is the chance to pre-order Ninjas vs. Monsters on DVD. So okay. If you're listening right now, you can go to ninjasversus.com, and we have a DVD packed with extras. We've got 5 commentaries. We've got just tons and tons of extra stuff that's on there, including the movie, which is really, really good, and I think you'll really like. If you haven't seen Zombies and Vampires, you absolutely can understand what's going on and enjoy the film on its own. So that is absolutely the first thing you can do. If you're not sure about buying the DVD, in just a couple weeks on February 3rd, if you have a means of watching something on your television, whether that's an Xbox or a PlayStation or iTunes or Google Play or Vudu or Comcast or Dish, whatever it is that you have, we're going to be on there for sale and rent that way too. So the very first thing I want to tell people is to go get the movie, watch the movie, enjoy the movie. If you want to plug into us, you can like us on Facebook. There's a lot of ways to get involved. The other thing, of course, that we're doing is I am a podcast host, and we have sort of a foul-mouthed, dirty word-filled Star Trek podcast called Trek Off. We like to say, if you like Star Trek and the F word, you'll love our show. And we are in the process right now, if you want to sort of see behind the curtain, because we talk about it a lot on the show, along with having great guests, we've had a bunch of actors. We had William Cadd on, who was the greatest American hero. We've had Clint Howard, Ron Howard's brother, on there. A bunch of old Star Trek actors have been on, and fan filmmakers and stuff. So Trek Off Podcast, you can look up that on iTunes or whatever, or go to trekoffpodcast.com. But we're turning that into a documentary comedy film as well. And we talk about that a lot on the podcast, and you can find out about that at trekoffmovie.com. So there's a ton going on. If you want to see what we're about, the trailer at Trek Off Movie, if you're not easily offended, it will make you laugh. If you are easily offended, then may I suggest going back to Monsters, which is my familiar scene.
All right, so you have been warned. So Justin has let you know for sure. Justin, congratulations to you guys. And as you said, you know, available now, of course, for pre-order, you know, is the DVD. So make sure our listeners do take advantage of that by going online to do that. But also, of course, look for the opportunities here in just a couple of weeks to be able to rent it as well. And Justin, I hope you'll come back. We'd love to share with you again.
I would love to be on your show again. Thank you for having me.
Hey, more than welcome. That's going to do it for us, for our online listeners. For those joining us on the radio side of our program, you guys stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come. But for those joining us online, if you guys came in late and missed part of the show, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the podcast of this show in just a few moments as we go off the air. All you have to do is go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's Conversations with an S, liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those places. And as I said, Justin is found there on Twitter at Ninja Directors, where you guys can find him there. And we tagged him on our page. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.